Just a reminder, if you want to speak, Susan, where do they?
There's a public comment sheet out by the door.
Public comment sheet out by the door. Feel free to sign up. Exercise your First Amendment rights. It's a big thing in America. I believe in it. And let's call being order. Angela, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Bentz?
Here.
Mr. Connolly?
Here.
Dr. Dana?
Here.
Mr. Riggs?
Here.
And Mr. Benezzi is out.
We have a majority. And can you hear me without the microphone, or do we need to use the mic?
We were told the microphone needs to be used for the recording.
Okay. We'll keep it right here. Bob Benezzi was unable to make it today. He has had some back surgery, serious back surgery. When you get to be his age and mine, it's always serious if you have surgery. But he's doing better? Jill, he's doing better?
Yes.
Okay.
He's doing well. He's just not allowed to work yet.
Understand that. I get that. So we miss Bob, and you'll be taking notes and things like that. Susan, can you talk about the sunshine laws, please?
Yes, sir. This is just a notification that the appropriate public notices were posted and the sunshine law has been complied with.
Okay. Opening remarks. It's been a few months since we met. I don't know, did we meet before session was over or during it? And nothing happened during last session. I can tell you what's happened, though, is that the state has received $400 million. It's sitting in the state treasury right now from BP. We have an upcoming legislative session. We can talk about all that as the afternoon progresses. But that's really the only change. We're a corporation, but we're not really a corporation. I mean, I think everyone in this room knows that. That we're not legally a corporation until we get money. And so just a reminder, we have our attorneys and Susan Skelton, who all are working for free. They've not been paid a nickel, and they work hard. Trust me, they work very hard because we get a lot of calls. I get a lot of calls. And so thank you for doing that. We'll see what happens as time goes on. And I will tell you that, clearly what happens next session is important to Triumph. No one knows what will happen. That's a lot of money out there with a lot of folks looking at it, and I understand that and I get that. But I would, especially for the media that's here today, would like to remind everyone that Northwest Florida got hurt by BP, by the spill. It was 2010. We were just coming back recession-wise, and we got stopped and put back two more years because of that spill. Everyone in America thought our beaches were covered with oil. And who knows what's still there? No one knows what's still there. So just a reminder that this is money that hopefully will help some of our companies who didn't make it or barely made it succeed. This will hopefully help us with our infrastructure needs, and this money will also hopefully help us attract new industry. And we've been through it and a lot, and again, I think what happens next session is clearly very important, and we're working it. I hope you're working it. I hope our legislative delegation's working it to keep it intact. So whatever happens, I'll be respectful of the decisions that our leaders make in the House and Senate and along with the governor. So. Having said that, we have a few things to talk about. Mike Burke, a review of the draft bylaws for Triumph Gulf Coast. You're recognized.
Good afternoon. As the chairman pointed out, you are not a corporation yet. That's why I chose not to even provide you with draft articles of incorporation so that we can kind of remember that we're still a work in progress here. I have provided, this will be very brief, I have provided the board with a draft set of bylaws. those bylaws, will obviously will be your rules of procedure, how we'll operate as a corporation, our policies once we get up and running. Of course, a lot of the stuff in our bylaws have been set by the statute that the legislature adopted. And so some of that is included within the bylaws. I would ask for you each over the next probably 6-8 months or so, probably summer of 2017 is what we expect we'll actually be putting these things into adoption, that you'll go through them and look at them and think about how do you want to run as a corporation, remembering that the statute says that you are really separate from the state and that you are to operate with the exception of some of the code of ethics and those sort of things that you're obligated to follow. Some of the items that I think will be important for you to consider as you go through those bylaws would be, do you want to have committees? Do you want to establish rules and procedures for the committees? Do we want to establish the policies of how you'll actually adopt or recommend projects within the bylaws, or do we want to do those in a separate sort of a policy manual that may be a little more flexible for you to go through? I've not included that in this draft set for you, but that is something for you to consider. How do you want to conduct your meetings? My recommendation is that you not go to the default, and I didn't include it in there, the default of Robert's Rules of Orders, because that's really for larger parliamentary organizations, and you need to have the flexibility to be able to operate and talk and speak to one another without maybe some of the more finer points of Robert's rules. And then again, I just encourage you to please pick up the phone or tap out the keyboard and send me an email about any questions, comments that you'd like for me to investigate or add, or that you've got concerns about in the bylaws. And there were extra copies out in the lobby for anybody that wanted to have them in the audience.
But don't CC everybody.
No. You're still subject to Sunshine Law. Only send your comments directly to me, and please don't include it to everyone. Just send it you can send it to staff. You're the three of us sitting here, but not to each other.
We understand.
All right. Thank you.
And before we move on, Pam, thank you for opening up your home here.
Why, thank you.
But you've got to put more signs out front. I mean, there's not one sign. I saw the 40 and figured 40, that's what Susan said. It was 40 Alconza Street, or I don't recall the name, but anyway.
Well, we'll take that into consideration. As some of you, or hopefully all of you, noticed, behind this building is a beautiful new building. It's our newest construction. It's a robotics laboratory. This is the Institute for Human and Machine Cognition. What's really cool about this research institute is that it was born here, it was raised here, it became successful here, and it's growing here. We have about a little under 100 scientists and researchers from around the world. They're involved in robotics and sensory substitution, cybersecurity. I mean, phenomenal stuff. In fact, last year in a DARPA defense competition, our robotics team won second place in the entire world, equating to $1 million and some other prestigious, or just the, you know, the bragging rights. But it's really nice to have you here. I've got information on IHMC, which I hope we can get distributed to everyone here, take a look at it, know what a gem we have in Northwest Florida, and we now have a satellite center in Ocala, Florida as well. I also want to recognize a few of my colleagues here from IHMC. If you guys will stand up, Julie Shepherd, Sharon Heise, a scientist, David Free, we got him from Tampa here recently. And Roy Thomas is handling the AV and such. Anyway, thank you very much for coming here. And afterwards, Phil Turner is willing to take folks on a mini tour of sorts if you want to hang around.
I've known about this center for many years. I still can't say Institute of Human and Machine. I still
you
cannot get
IHMC.
I need to remember that.
That's IHMC. The way
to
do it.
That's good. Lisa Walters, tell us a little bit about statutory criteria for TRINA.
Yes, sir. You have a white folder in front of you, and in the right-hand pocket, you have a stack of materials, and I'd like to tell you what's there. And there were some of those packets outside on the front table for others, so some of you may want to follow along. But what I would like to do is walk through these materials. I'm setting the stage for you to begin the thought process of what a project, an awardee, for Triumph Funds might look like and how you would go about getting there. So this is only a first step to begin a dialogue and a conversation and to be thought-provoking, I hope. So the first thing we have done is brought you the criteria of five different counties within our eight. Those five have gone through the RESTORE process in identifying criteria and methodology for how they would distribute their RESTORE funds. So you have those five examples of how other organizations who are fairly new have stood up to recognize how they would expend funds. Then you have a chart of the state of Florida's various incentive programs, from the Quick Action Closing Fund to Space Florida to the Florida Ports Council, all of those types of programs. Most folks around the state, in particular our region, are real curious as to how you guys are going to make selection and what your criteria will be. And they all say, well, these are good examples. I have gone on to include, though, two charts that show your parameters, however. The parameters of the Triumph Statute are very different and unlike any other program that is out there within the state now. It does not mirror EFI. It does not mirror a Triumph fund. The priorities to be given to Triumph projects is very different and very unique. It's game-changing, very far-reaching. So these other examples are provided to you solely for the purpose of to kickstart the thought process of what are some other ways folks have stood things up from the ground up. You'll notice amongst the five counties that you have, they're very different. There is everything from a scoring process to a ranking system. All of those are options that are available to you. One of the more interesting comments that is in our statute is that you are charged with being creative in how you evaluate projects, meaning it's not a straight LOI, it's not a straight return on investment. You're encouraged to be creative, and so that's what we're trying to do, is get some information in front of you to help you with that creative process. And we're confident that many of the folks that are our team players here, our team members from the various economic development organizations, from Florida's Great Northwest, et cetera, they'll help us be creative. But for right now, that's where we're at. So the two particular, the last two charts that you have specifically refer to our statute and listing specific awards that meet priorities for economic recovery, diversification, and enhancement. So I've laid this out in a chart form for you with some area to jot down some notes, some thoughts, some questions. The second chart that follows that is how priority is given to those. So there again, some space for you to jot some notes. If you'd like this electronically so you can type in some notes and send them to us, I'll be happy to provide them in that way. But it's verbatim from the statute, but it's formatted in a bite size for you to isolate and look at in context of your own personal experiences and the information from our other partners out there. Three counties either did not, remaining three counties either did not have criteria for RESTORE or it's still in development. So we've reached out to all eight, and we wanted to get everybody to, I thought that would help you have an understanding of how they're thinking and how their dollars are being spent as well. So be happy to answer any questions, but as Mike indicated, it's a lot of information to digest, thought-provoking, and I'm happy to meet with you and talk about them, kick ideas around and such as that. So.
Members, any questions of Lisa?
Maybe a comment.
Stan?
So all of us are getting asked those questions, right? This material that you've given us is public.
Yes.
So anybody that's interested in how we're going to prioritize programs or projects can at least begin their own thinking process by referencing this document.
Yes.
And I personally will be, until we do that, encouraging those to do exactly that. These are the priorities per the statute. They're not necessarily in the right order yet or the right weighting yet or anything of the above, but these are the things that people that are considering petitioning us for consideration need to be thinking about today.
Sure. I would add one interesting caveat to our statute that, again, is differentiates Triumph from other programs. Triumph is able to award a project in and of itself in an isolated situation, meaning it's not that you're required to go through a process of ranking or prioritizing all at one time. You can take a project that, if one came in the door, let's say July 1, 2017, and you had one really good application that was ready to go, you could go ahead and evaluate that and decide on how to treat that without everything else in line. And you may need to think about that because the funds have to be expended at the same level every year. And so if you get bogged down in a process, in a selection process, you have some projects that are at risk being potentially lost perhaps from timing reasons. And you also need to get going and moving when you are able to go, we'll need to go.
Any more questions? Susan?
Just for the audience, I wanted to make sure that everybody understood that this information will be posted along with the agenda information on the website, and so it will be available for everyone to view. And like Lisa said, there may be projects that are on the shelf that are available and able to come off in a hurry, but then there also will be steps for those that involve more review from the board.
While you have the microphone, Susan, why don't you talk a little bit about the drafting of our investment policy?
Well, it's an interesting story.
Because we have no money to invest.
Yeah. if you'll recall at our last meeting, Mr. Williams from SBA handed out a document where it was a template document for an investment policy statement for institutional investors. And we started looking at that document, and I realized real quickly that it was way above my pay grade. It was not a type of document that, as a layperson, I had the capability to draft. And even the attorneys, it's a specialized document requiring a specialized financial planner's abilities to look at that document. And so we're in a situation where we realize that we need to be able to present an investment policy, but we have the conundrum that we have no money to pay someone to help us do that. So we are struggling with that issue and invite any ideas that the board may have to help us move forward with that. Again, this is a very technical document that involves tax attorneys and financial planners and needs to be very concise in the wording so that it's clear to the public what the policy, the investment policy of this board is. And we're not there yet, but any input that anyone has that you can help us with, either publicly or offline, we'll be glad to take that instruction.
Questions, members? Okay, I know there's probably been frustration about the fact that we haven't met a whole lot. Well, there's no reason to meet because right now we're kind of sort of a corporation, and who knows how the statutes will be modified in this upcoming session. And committee weeks begin in December, so it'll be a good 5 or 6 months before we know what is really going to happen. And I know there's a sense of urgency that let's have everything ready once we figure out what happens. I would remind you that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And this is a long period of time. I mean, it goes, I think, a total of 13 years. So let's do it right. But before we begin, you know, coming up with ideas, let's see what we have to play with and what the rules are. So, again, I know you're frustrated. I know my fellow members are frustrated. And folks that want projects are frustrated. But we need to be careful not to put the cart before the horse. And once we know what the rules are, I think you'll see us get into action pretty quick. I would also add, I was in Dallas a few months ago at an aerospace convention. And the buzz out there, the buzz was Triumph. What's this Triumph thing? We're hearing a lot about it, so I can tell you it's getting a little buzz. Once we get for real, I think it'll get a lot more buzz, and that's good because those are good jobs. Those are really, really neat jobs. Interim staff updates. Susan?
Just to let you know that we have been in contact with our friends at University of West Florida who have been so kind as to provide our umbrella backbone services for the past year or so. And we are going to be working with them to put forward a standalone website so that we won't be on the UWF site. Then we'll have our own separate site, and that's in process. We slowed that down when we realized we weren't going to have any funding for a year or so. We haven't jumped on that, but we will be doing that, so it'll make it easier for the public to find the information that they're looking for as well. And we appreciate the assistance that UWF has provided.
Okay, how about next we, Steve and Pam and Stan, how about comments? You're up. I'm going to go to you first. Just in general about the process, your thoughts, and each of you, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are.
I don't have anything quite at the moment. Something may come to me, though.
Okay, I'll move to Pam. She's using the stuff.
Do you want me to talk more about IHMC? Yeah. I've had a lot of folks contacting me with, of course, with interest about the process, and I inform them as much as I can, you know, about where we are. So I'm quite encouraged that at least the first installment of monies has gone to Tallahassee. So we just need to all keep focused and educating our leadership there in Tallahassee the importance of these monies for our long-term economic growth recovery. So I appreciated your opening remarks about we were harmed, and don't lose sight of that. I've also had outreach from a number of the economic leaders in the state on ideas that they have, or just they're volunteering to assist in whatever way we need. Kim Wilms with Florida's Great Northwest, she's the new president over there, and she's reached out to me, and of course Rick Harper and Nathan Sparks. So I think in toto we have a very I'm very encouraged by the way that people are working together or seeing themselves as a big regional team to make this work for the entire region.
Stan?
I would concur that the buzz is there. Several of us in the room also had the ability to hear that buzz in Farnborough, England here about 2 months ago. And with many of the prospects we met there, this topic was one of interest and one of them very interested in participating with us in Northwest Florida, so I'm excited about that. I'd also say that we now have some new members of our legislative delegation in Northwest Florida that haven't lived this the way their predecessors have, but I'm convinced, having talked to many of them individually, they get it, and they want to work hard with us and for us to ensure that our voice is heard in the legislature. So where they need our support, I'm sure we'll give it. I appreciate the interest of the folks in this room for continuing to be here and to come hear updates and think creatively and give us ideas to consider, thought-provoking elements. And then I'd end with a thank you to our team, Mr. Chairman, that is working pro bono on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're putting a lot of time and effort into the kinds of stuff we put in front of us today. And that's tough to do when there's no bill that you can send out the door. But thank you all for your hard work and partnership. That's all I have.
All right. We do have a public comment. So let's move on to Kim. You're up. Florida's Great Northwest. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. And I hate to stand with my back to everybody. All right. All right. So I'm Kim Wilmus. I wanted to just introduce myself, give you a little update on what Florida's Great Northwest is up to these days. A little bit of background about me. I'm a native Floridian, born and raised out of Jacksonville, Florida. Prior to me being at Florida's Great Northwest, all of 2.5 months, I spent 14 years at Enterprise Florida doing marketing for the state and helping to lead the marketing Team Florida Marketing Partnership, where we gathered all of the local EDOs and industry across the state to work together as a team to promote Florida for business. I'm happy to be part of Florida's Great Northwest and hope to bring that expertise and leadership here to Northwest Florida. A little background about what we're doing now. In partnership with the University of West Florida, we recently received an EDA grant, and we're using those dollars to help us develop a regional economic transformation strategy. And our goal with that strategy is to really get everyone involved, to work together, to unite the Northwest Florida region, to help identify key initiatives that really will have a long-term economic impact on the region. We are in negotiations with a firm, a national firm, who has done this for many communities across the United States. And we hope that we could present those findings once we're through that process and going through that process. We can present that information to you, and hopefully it'll help in your decisions and things that you're working on. In the meantime, hopefully, I think early next year is our goal. But in the meantime, if there's anything that Florida's Great Northwest or I can do to help support, we're a resource to you and would like to be here to partner and help you in any way we can.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Any questions of Kim? Yes, welcome. Welcome back or whatever, you know.
Welcome over here.
Jennifer Grove, Gulf Power Company.
I must have signed in on the wrong form.
Oh, say something, Jennifer.
Now you're on the spot. You have
now
to.
You're on the spot. You can do it.
We are thrilled that IHSC is expanding here in Pensacola. We love that there's a presence in Ocala, but we're really thrilled that you all have chosen to invest here again and can't wait to see what the new building brings from a research and development perspective, but also what it really offers for STEM hands-on opportunities for area students as well. Really exciting.
Thank you
for having us here.
That was good. I don't run you. We need to run her for office somewhere. I don't know. Keith Wilkins, City of Pensacola. You can speak from right there. That's fine.
A couple points did come to mind. I'm Keith Wilkins. I work with the mayor's office for City of Pensacola.
Susan's got to make it all official.
I'm Keith Wilkins. I work for the mayor of the city of Pensacola in the mayor's office. And I think the first thing I'd like to say is, how can the city of Pensacola help you? And I'll look forward to that feedback as the process moves forward. We are strategizing right now on what our legislative priorities are going to be for the city of Pensacola in the upcoming session. Just so you know that, we are desirous to keep the Triumph legislation intact as it is now. Help keep the money in Northwest Florida and help leverage our economy here. Also, with the website, I just had a question. The agenda items on here, will that backup be provided on the website too? Okay. Thank you. And with that, again, we're really happy to have IHMC here, see the expansion and the luck that we had with the legislature on some of the stormwater improvements for the facility. So thank you.
Good deal. Pam?
Keith was a real instrumental player in helping us with just getting this building permitted and maneuvering the municipal process. So thank you, Keith.
Jim Muller, Bay County. There you are, buddy.
Well, I see that I also should start reading when it says the top of the page.
Yeah, but you had time to figure it out, though.
Good thing it wasn't a volunteering to be shanghaied. thanks. I would like to also be able to offer any help you might need from me. I've dealt with a lot of the aspects of the Gulf Restoration and would be happy to work through as much as possible. I think Triumph is a great opportunity and look forward to hopefully coming through the legislative session intact and making a quick start and showing what this can do for the Florida's great Northwest. Thanks.
Thanks, Jim. Beverly, did you do the same thing they did?
She's too embarrassed.
Beverly Perry, welcome.
I wish I had signed up on the wrong sheet, but I did sign up on comment sheet.
Great. Welcome.
Thank you. My name's Beverly Perry. I'm a resident of Pensacola, and I'm vice president of my neighborhood association. And our neighborhood association submitted a project to the Restore Advisory Committee of Escambia County, along with about 123 other groups. And right before applications were submitted, we learned that the BP funds for that portion of Restore were cut about in half. So those applications are the result of literally years of work from all of these groups and the Restore Advisory Committee. And I hope that you will consider the possible economic impact of some of those projects, which will not be funded within the County Restore Program. The BP funds, the fines they are paying for the BP oil spill, don't come out of the air. They come from customers like you and me who pay into their company for our oil and gas, and I do it too, of course. I'm asking that we please don't pay BP twice by promoting business and industry that institutionalizes the use of fossil fuels. I propose that the most and best sustained economic activity comes from business and industry that uses and promotes renewable energy and winds down the need for more fossil fuels that we would get from 1 or 2 miles underneath the Gulf of Mexico. It's not if these days, but when the next oil spill might occur. So I'm asking that we please don't pay BP twice. Thank you.
Thank you, Beverly. Anyone else want to say anything? Good idea. Send the microphone around. Just who you represent. It may be Alan Bentz. I mean, just whomever. Let's see. Well, we would like to get a good feel for who's here. We know Rick.
Everybody. Rick Harper, University of West Florida.
We know you. Beverly, we know Beverly already.
I'm Dottie Dubazon, a citizen of Pensacola.
Mark Keltz, Morgan Stanley.
Steve Riggs, Carr Riggs and Ingram.
Brian Parker, Power South Energy.
Teresa Baker, Florida's Great Northwest.
Shannon Ogletree, Santa Rosa County.
Donovan Chow, UWF.
Bryce Harris, UWF.
Scarlett Funnif, Bay Economic Development Alliance.
Jennifer Connolly, Gulf Power.
Nathan Sparks with EDC of Okaloosa County.
Jennifer Grove, Gulf Power.
Jeff Helms with Atkins.
Brenda Bailey, Okaloosa County.
Stan Forum with Space Florida.
Rebecca Ferguson, Economic Policy Coordinator with City of Pensacola.
Todd Thompson, Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce.
Scott Luth, Florida West Economic Development Alliance.
Danita Andrews, Florida West Economic Development Alliance.
Steve Rhodes, Gulf Power.
Rick Byers, Gulf Power and Florida's Great Northwest Chairman.
I'm Chip Kirschenfeld, Escambia County Natural Resources Department.
David Fries, IHMC.
Julie Shepard, IHMC.
Good afternoon. I'm Corey Henderson with Enterprise Florida.
Matt Posner, Escambia County Restore.
Shelley Marshall, Escambia County Restore Program Manager.
Jim Waite, Baskerville Donovan.
Carrie Ann Jensen, Baskerville Donovan.
Well, welcome everybody, and thank you for being here. This is it. There's nothing else on the agenda. What I would, I always like to leave a meeting with a call to action. You know, the call to action is, let's try to preserve these dollars as much as we can. Let's not be overt. I can tell you it's on my radar screen every single day. Every day. Right, Susan? Right, Liz? Every day. And it's on a lot of other people's radar screen, thanks to Stan, the St. Joe Company, and others who have helped us along this process, along with Steve and Pam and Bob and Jill. So trust me, it's something that we don't take lightly. Well, the good news is we're going to know in a reasonable period of time how it turns out. I would love it if it ends up the way it is right now. I'd be happy as a clam. But there's a lot of, again, it's a lot of money. It's a big target. But please know that we are watching this every single day. Any questions from the audience of any of us? Jim?
Just wondering if there's any planned activities, say, between now and the beginning of session for the trying forward or background work on the bylaws or anything else?
Maybe. I mean, we'll get with Susan. We'll talk about that. But again, you know, until we have a little bit clearer direction of, you know, what's going to happen from a statutory position, it's hard for us to make hard and fast decisions until we know what the rules are going to be. So, yes, sir?
Yeah, Chairman, do you have the ability to walk the halls and kind of help shape those rules, or for your arm's length, you have to be arm's length away? All of y'all carry some clout in Tallahassee. And how can we help you to help kind of shape those?
We're walking the halls. We're walking them. And you can too. No. I'm a citizen. You know, it's part of Northwest Florida. We do have folks that are involved in the process that are also walking the halls and coordinating with myself and others on this board. So we're giving it as good an effort as you can give it. Jill? Susan. No, because we don't need to be firing bullets everywhere. They need to be centralized. Susan Skelton is the person who is going to be coordinating what we do legislatively, along with myself and Stan a lot, as well as the other board members. But we've got, I would run it everything through Susan, and that's advice to everybody, because Susan's been in the process for 40 years. I thought you went to work when you were 12.
More than 30, but not 40.
She, and by the way, Susan used to be the chief of staff to Pat Thomas, who was Senate president, so she understands the process. She really gets it. She's also, by the way, very well respected in Tallahassee on both sides of the aisle, and it was a great catch to get her to agree to do what she's doing now. So what I would suggest is, if you don't know how to get in touch with Susan, catch up with her before the meeting is over, and or with me or any of us board members. But Susan is the funnel, because we've got to be careful not to be sending mixed signals to members of the House and Senate and leadership. So it needs to be sort of a coordinated attack. Attack's the wrong word. Effort. Good word, effort. It's sort of like when you get older, you get a little nicer. I've learned that when you don't.
We're waiting to see that.
I've learned that when you don't like somebody, the new word is he's a complicated person. You know, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Anyway, having said that, any more questions?
Mr. Chairman, let me say Florida's Great Northwest has an advocacy committee that we put together recently. And,
great.
Members members of Florida's Great Northwest that are concerned about this money staying in the area. We all saw what happened in Alabama over the last couple of weeks, them taking the money away, a lot of it from Baldwin and Mobile County, the county's most effective. So we want to do everything that we can to assist on the advocacy level also, so we'll coordinate with Susan on that.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate that. We got time. Any more questions? Any more observations? And listen, we don't have a corner in the market for brains. If you've got some good ideas on how we can do better, let us know. Having said that, meeting's adjourned.
Thank you, sir.
If anyone wants to do a mini tour, Phil Turner is right outside the door. I just saw him pass. And if you're interested in more information on IHMC, there's some publications up front. Thanks.
Journey is boring.